The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Reflecting on the visit the angel Gabriel made to the Virgin Mary to tell her that she would become the Mother of God, Martin Luther referenced Saint Bernard to the effect that there are three miracles. First, that God and man should be joined in this Christ. Second, that a mother should remain a virgin. And third, that Mary should have such faith as to believe that this miracle would be accomplished in her. The last, Luther writes, is not the least of the three. The virgin birth is a mere trifle for God. That God should become man is a greater miracle. But the most amazing of all is that this maiden should believe that she, rather than some other virgin, had been chosen to be the mother of God. She did indeed inquire of the angel, "How can these things be?" And he answered, "Mary, you have asked too high a question for me. But the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And you will not know yourself how it happened." Had she not believed, Luther concludes, she could not have conceived. If there's anything to St. Bernard's and Martin Luther's thoughts in this matter, and I believe there is, it seems we could add a fourth miracle of the Incarnation to their list. Namely, that Joseph believed the message the Lord sent to him via an angel in a dream, to the effect that his betrothed was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and would give birth to a very special son. We don't know what Joseph had been told prior to the dream. It may be that Mary had reported to him everything Gabriel had said to her, along with what Elizabeth had said when Mary had entered her house. On the other hand, it may be that Mary hadn't said a word. that she was quietly trusting in the Lord, that he would set things right. We don't know what Joseph had been told because the scriptures are completely silent about this. Whatever he had or hadn't been told, though, Joseph was no fool. He knew that every child has a mother and a father. It had been that way since Adam and Eve. That's the way God ordered creation. He also knew that he was not the father of Mary's child. So the only possible explanation, the only reasonable conclusion for him, was that some other man had been with Mary. Being a just man, but not wanting to cause Mary any difficulty, he had decided that he should divorce her quietly. Then she would be free to marry her baby's father. It was the only kind and honest thing he could think to do. Before Joseph acted, however, the Lord sent an angel to him in a dream with an incredible message. The wedding was back on. What had happened with Mary was unique in the history of the world. Quite simply, though impossible for Joseph to verify, Mary's unborn son didn't have a human father. The child in her womb had been conceived through the working of the Holy Spirit. There was no natural explanation for what had happened. Human experience and reason say it simply couldn't take place. No experiment or demonstration could be conducted to show how it happened, or even that it could have happened, as the angel told Joseph. There was no way to verify or to repeat this event. The only thing Joseph had was the testimony of an angel who carried to him a word from the Lord. And the truth is that Mary continuing to be a virgin, even though she was pregnant, was only half of the incredible message the angel brought. He also provided two names for Mary's son, Jesus and Emmanuel. And as he explained them to Joseph, it became clear that this child would be the Lord himself, present as a human being in order to save his people from their sins. He would be true God with his people as one of them, as one of us. God incarnate, that is, God in the flesh. Again, this is unique in all of history. God becoming man in order to deal with the problem of sin so that death and damnation would not be the eternal fate of every human being from Adam and Eve to the last baby conceived before our Lord's return. It boggles the mind even now. And we've had much more opportunity to get used to it than Joseph, who just wanted to do the right thing. This was a miracle pregnancy. God acting outside the bounds of nature in order to implement his gracious plan. This was a miracle baby. God becoming man in order to bring sinful men salvation. And Matthew describes a fourth miracle. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. We don't get a word from Joseph, not here, not anywhere in the New Testament. There is no counterpart in this case to Mary's wonderful statement of faith, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Or to her marvelous confession of the Magnificat. Like James, however, Joseph shows his faith by what he does. When he wakes up, Joseph takes Mary as his wife. And when Mary gives birth, he names her son Jesus. And of course, it doesn't stop there. We hear of his presence with Mary and her son in the temple for the presentation, fleeing with them to Egypt at the Lord's command, and then bringing them back to Nazareth. Also the journey together to Jerusalem for the Passover when Jesus was 12 years old. Joseph did as the angel commanded and served as a faithful and loving husband to Mary and guardian to Jesus. If Mary could not have conceived had she not believed, how would things have gone for her and the infant Jesus had Joseph not believed? As amazing as the virgin's trust in the Lord's word, we can marvel as well at Joseph's and thank God that Joseph responded in trusting obedience to what he was told. Joseph's response to God's word provides us with a fine and inspiring example, but also puts us to shame. We live in a skeptical age and tend to be skeptical ourselves. If Matthew wrote in our day, he probably would have published his gospel online. And you know what would have happened? It would have been labeled fake news, awarded with 4 Pinocchios or pants on fire rating. Our society believes in climate change caused by human beings, that it's going to end life on Earth if we don't do something drastic. And immediately, but at the same time rejects the possibility of divine revelation or absolute truth. We don't have to ask what it would do with conception by a virgin or resurrection after 3 days. Even many Christian denominations in our day are ashamed of, perhaps even disbelieve, these core Christian truths. God has revealed his word to you and to me, not in the many and various ways of old, dreams, visions, oracles, but in the words of Holy Scripture and in the person of his Son. Here he provides us with the fullest revelation of himself. As Jesus says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." In the Son of the Virgin, God has revealed his love for you. He did not spare his own Son, whom he loves, but gave him up for us all. Gave him up to be lifted up to die on a cross, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is Jesus, the Lord himself, saving his people from their sins. The Lord as a sacrificial lamb, taking away the sins of the world by bearing the whole burden of the world's sins in his body on the tree of the cross. Jesus is God with us in the sorrows and the sufferings of this earthly life, the disappointments and the disasters, the loneliness and futility. In every respect, we're told he has been tempted as we are, tempted to despair, tempted to find identity and security in the idolatries of power or pleasure or acclaim. In every respect, he has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Without sin, so that he could bestow his perfect righteousness on you in exchange for your sin. Because Jesus, God himself, entered into human flesh to live and die and rise again, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means for you, who have been baptized into his death, and therefore will be united with him also in his resurrection. For you, who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, have eaten his body, given him to death for you, and drunk his blood of the covenant poured out for you, for the forgiveness of your sin. This is the truth of the name Jesus, of the one who is Emmanuel. God has given him for you and for your salvation. In short, he has saved you. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.